You're listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I am your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Scott Chaney, Senior Advisor to the National Association of Workforce Boards, about offender reentry and helping this population find work after release. Chaney has been a senior advisor to NAWB since April 2003, where his work has focused on the design and implementation of its professional development, education, and learning strategies and resources. Specifically, he has assisted NAWB with the development and rollout of courses on building partnerships between workforce and economic development and on designing best practice one-stop. Chaney also assists NAWB with projects on improving partnerships between workforce boards and community and faith-based organizations and coalitions of organizations addressing the successful reentry of ex-offenders. He is a principal with PAROS, a consulting group with broad expertise in workforce development, having worked on the topic from the private and public nonprofit sectors. Previously, he has worked for the Center for Workforce Preparation at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the American Society for Training and Development, and the National Alliance of Business. He has a master's degree in public policy from Georgetown University, a bachelor's degree in philosophy from Carleton College, and he serves on the board of directors of the National Jobs Partnership. Today, he will discuss workforce development and reentry issues for offenders. Thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to today's live talk, Scott.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you. We're also happy to learn about what your work has been in re-entry efforts with NAWB, and so I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about NAWB's involvement in re-entry and what's going on with that.
Happy to. NAWB has been working on the issue in a number of ways over a number of years, but really began to step up about 3 years ago when we were invited to be one of the project partners for the Council of State Governments project on the Reentry Policy Council. This is a multifaceted initiative to look at the whole issue of successful reentry. And it took the approach of trying to think about this in one fell swoop from a workforce and employment standpoint, from a public policy and public safety standpoint, from a substance abuse and housing, and included representatives in its policy efforts from state, local, and federal government, from the legislative, executive, and judicial branches, from community-based organizations, from research houses, and a variety of different associations. So we were proud to be one of the partners on that initiative, and in that role, we led the Workforce Development and Employment Opportunities Advisory Group, which was made up of, again, workforce boards, one-stop, state legislators, judges, community-based organizations from all over the nation who helped us shape a series of policy recommendations that flowed into the larger report. In addition, one of the things that we try and do is educate our workforce boards around the country. And for the listeners who aren't familiar with workforce boards, these are the federally mandated organizations that oversee state and local workforce development around the country. They are business-led boards whose responsibility is to set policy, to set the vision and the strategy, and to oversee the funds that flow down primarily from the U.S. Department of Labor into local communities to shape and implement workforce development practices.
Okay. In your work on this, this policy council, what is the discussion about offenders being prepared for working in the community, and do folks understand the importance of getting this group prepared to find a job, and are there also discussions going on about what agencies should do to prepare them?
I think the answer to that is people are both aware of and increasingly aware of the need to address reentry through a multifaceted approach, and that one of those approaches has to be preparing people while they're incarcerated with the skills they need to meet the economy that they're going back into. And as we all know from watching the economy over the last 5, 10, 15 years, things are not like they used to be. And so for individuals that have gone into incarceration a period of time ago, they're re-entering an economy that has changed dramatically from what they left. And we need to do a better job of thinking about how can we prepare inmates for the employment world while they're incarcerated. And to do that, we need to be much more flexible about understanding the changing economy in the local communities that inmates are being returned to. So it doesn't do us any good to think about broad brush sets of skills that employers are beginning to back away from. They're looking for very specialized skill sets. So the more that we can understand the changing economies in the communities that inmates are returning to, the better job we can do of trying to prepare those inmates with the specific skills while they're incarcerated so that they're a better competitor for jobs when they return to the communities.
So it's really looking at what each offender is good at doing rather than coming up with a specific type of job that all offenders should know how to do.
It's really the same principle that we would have in any sort of a workforce development approach. It's understanding the skill sets that an individual brings from past experiences, and it's matching those with the kind of emerging economy and the emerging industry sectors in any community. It doesn't do us any good to train and prepare 1,000 hairdressers if the economy doesn't need 1,000 hairdressers.
Right.
So we need to understand where the economy is going and what kind of jobs are being created and what employers are looking for, and be able to match the individuals based on their particular past skill sets as best we can to those jobs that are available. It really matches up very closely with a lot of the work that we're trying to do in bringing workforce and economic development together. This is just another component of that whole initiative where we understand that an economy is only as good as the people prepared to serve it, and the people are only going to be as successful as an economy prepared to hire them.
Right.
And ex-offenders for successful reentry are one more role in, one more aspect in that. I would be remiss, and I should mention this now before we get too deep in, the report of the Reentry Policy Council is complete. It is out, and I highly recommend it to anyone that wants to look at the recommendations and the policy suggestions that we come up with here. You can find it by going to www.reentrypolicy.org.
Great.
And that's all one word, and you can download both the entire report, although it's almost 700 pages long, so I don't think you'd want to do that. But you can also download it chapter by chapter or recommendation by recommendation, and it's broken down into about 37 recommendations.
Oh, that's great.
So you can really pinpoint workforce or substance abuse or housing or public safety sections.
Also, for our listeners, it's linked this week on corrections.com as part of our coverage about reentry, so people can get to the website address from there, too.
Wonderful.
Also, to our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Scott Chaney of the National Association of Workforce Boards about reentry. Getting back to that sort of process of finding work, how difficult is it for offenders to find meaningful work, and what would you say are some of the big hurdles that they face, and maybe you have a beat a little bit on what's being done sort of with funding or resources to try and help them overcome those barriers?
Well, the good news and the bad news here is that the good news is that there is, I think, a renewed effort to try and break down some of the barriers that do exist. I think we're seeing a general change in both policy and public understanding that in order to reduce recidivism and in order to really appropriately address the reemergence and the reentry of inmates into society, we need to try and remove some of the barriers that may have been put up in the past. So you see that evidenced in some of the points in the Second Chance Act, which has been introduced in Congress by then Representative Portman from Ohio, who now obviously has left or is leaving his role as a congressman and becoming the trade representative. So we'll be curious to see how that impacts the Second Chance Act. But there's a lot in there that's beginning to move toward trying to remove some of the barriers, educating employers, improving some of the federal coordination, and putting some money out into the field, some more money out into the field for reentry demonstrations. The bad news, of course, is that the economy, as I said before, isn't what it used to be. And while it is picking up some steam, and it appears that more jobs are being created, they're not great jobs, by and large. They're not the kind of high-pay, high-skill jobs that have been lost and are continuing to churn through the economy over the past 10 years or so. So while there are jobs that are out there, ex-offenders in this case are no different from anyone else who's trying to secure a good job. And in fact, they have the additional barrier and burden of having the label of ex-offender that's still going to travel with them. And they're going to be in the same boat, probably, but with perhaps one less oar rowing to find that good job that's going to have career advancement opportunities, and that's going to give them the chance to really find a secure position so that it'll increase their chances of not reoffending. But everyone is in the same boat right now. The economy is not everything we'd like to see it. And only with an improved economy will we have more opportunities for everyone, including ex-offenders.
Now, with your work on the reentry policy committee, was there also discussion about offenders getting jobs? Certainly, but are there other parts of that package that they need in order to be able to succeed not only in the workforce but just getting back into society?
And the report spends as much time talking about employment and workforce development and skills creation as it does about addressing housing challenges and making sure that there's both sufficient and affordable housing, but that we work through the challenges of figuring out how offenders can either be in the same community with their family and their support system, but overcoming some of the barriers to returning to public housing that may exist.
Sure.
Certainly addressing the substance abuse issues and everything else that comes along with perhaps a past that they're trying to overcome. The report, I think its strength is that it does try and weave together what are perceived as a myriad of challenges that need to be addressed at once in order to be successful here. And I should say it is perhaps innovative in its scope, but also in its recognition that reentry has to start from the day of arrest, from the day of the sentencing and the trial. If we're not thinking about what are we doing all along the path to assist with a successful reentry, we're losing valuable time, and we're losing a valuable opportunity to bring all resources to bear in order to smooth the way for individuals to find successful reentry in their community. So I know one of the big conversations we had in the partners meeting and on the steering committee was really emphasizing that we can't think about this as 60 days out or 6 months out from release. It has to be something that we think about from day one.
Right. Well, and it sounds like work that, your group has been doing and other groups have been doing to, discuss this issue and bring it, to the forefront. Maybe we'll have some impact, hopefully soon.
Well, I hope so, and a lot will depend on what happens in Congress now. We'd hate to see the momentum get lost with Congressman Portman's job change, and so we would love to see others step up to the plate and pick up that piece of legislation and continue to champion it through.
Great. Well, that concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Scott Chaney for joining us today to discuss this topic.
My pleasure.
And also thank you to our audience for tuning in. For more information about offender reentry, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.